we ended this morning with me asking everyone to, if you get a chance this afternoon, to read the fourth chapter of Proverbs. I was talking about fatherhood this morning and how valuable it is, and I don't know what you want to say, the techniques or the manifestation of a father, and how they would handle themselves and handle the situations that arise in a family. I suppose if you have something you want to speak up and help us point out this evening, then I want you to feel free with that. But I'd like to look here in Proverbs, the fourth chapter, probably the only place, unless we have another reference that we go to this evening. It says here, ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. We spent some time this morning talking about a father knowing the direction that he was headed, and it'd be pretty, it'd be pretty assuming to think that a young man that gets married, becomes a father, sometimes in our culture and our amongst us as a body of people, sometime in the 20s, early 20s, sometimes you become a father. And to think that a young man that's 25 or less would have all of life planned out seems pretty preposterous, doesn't it? It does to me. I'll just put it that way. But the stage that you're in, it's very important for the father to know the direction you're headed and why you're going that way. And it said here, hear ye children, the instruction of a father. Nothing has changed as far as I'm still the father of four children. That is the same. But the instruction that I might give them today is vastly different than the instruction I would give when they were two. Just incredibly different. There's things, there's information that you're going to impart that's different. And it said here, for us to attend to no understanding. So we're going to go into this chapter realizing that the father, as a young man, doesn't have it all figured out. He just needs to be ahead of the current events. All right? So you young fathers that have small children, you may not have all the answers for teenage years, but don't ignore that they're coming. You need to start anticipating, and don't get stuck in the little child arena to where the teenage years catches you and blindsides you. You need to start reading ahead, if you will, and being prepared. You know, the next phase is those years that they're going to be more expressive and more have more of their own ideas. Ideas that are not just silly little children ideas, but ideas that maybe cause you to stop and scratch your head a little bit and think a little bit. And you need to start thinking, how am I going to be equipped? You want to maintain the respect of your children, but yet there are ways to handle it wrongly. Handle it in a way where you're always condescending to them, and that won't turn out right. That won't turn out. You've got to be able to adapt to the age that they're in. He says, for I give you good doctrine. This is talking about a father. He says, I give you good doctrine. Forsake you not my law. So the intent is that the father would be able to have something that would not just be soothing, but it would be good doctrine, something that's established, that can be substantiated, something that's backed up with the scripture, backed up with good principles. And it's more than just, I believe what he's referring to here is more than just doctrine about religious things. Okay, he's talking about how to handle life and how to be prepared for the next phase that the child is coming to. He says, for I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. So, with the assumption that this is Solomon and his mother being Bathsheba, we know that she had other children. I think she had at least four sons with David. I don't believe he's talking about he was the only one that she spent time with, but he is referring to the relationship that he had with his biological parents. It's important for us as fathers to keep that relationship on a congenial basis. All right? So I had a conversation with a brother just recently, not someone from our congregation, and we were talking about him being able to talk to his son. And I just asked him if he felt like he would be able to talk to his son about a specific topic, and it was on spiritual lines. And he said, oh yeah, he said, we can talk about anything. Well, I thought that was very commendable. You know, for a father and a son to be able to discuss things. I mean, obviously it was his perception. The son wasn't answering. But, you know, as time unfolds, either one of the parents could create walls and barriers to where the child doesn't want to communicate, or maybe just superficially. And I'd like for us to keep this in mind, because my objective is to be a father that down the road somewhere, my children would say, for I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words and keep my commandments and live. I'd like for my children to be able to say that after I'm gone. And not say, you know, Dad was a real trial on me. He was always barking commands, and he always had unrealistic expectations, and we never could see the eye to eye on anything. I want something different in my legacy than that. And I believe you do too. So keep those avenues of communication open. I'm not saying give in to them. That's not what fatherhood's all about. But keep those avenues of communication open. He says here, his observation, I believe this was Solomon talking about his relationship with his father. He said, he taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. So he is teaching his children how to get understanding. I made a little reference of this morning, but I remember when I was in school, it was a new development when I was in high school that we got a couple of those little screens. The screen on the computer we got, my Bible would have hid the whole thing. I believe it was called an Apple 2E. Little green characters on a dark background. And if I remember correctly. Anyway, we got two or three of them. The whole school. That's all there was. And they was in one particular teacher's classroom back at the back. And there was this buzz about learning computer programming. And I don't remember all the terminology. So we went from that to the thing that's the evolving current thing is this AI that they're talking about. And there are so many times that I'm struggling getting something to work, and I ask somebody that's my children's age bracket, what am I doing wrong here? And they come over and I don't know, there's so many little doors and windows to open and close, and they go through all this stuff and directly it's working. What'd you do? Well, the best thing I can do many times is point them in the direction. You need to gain some more understanding in this way. What did he say here? He said, his father said, get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. I believe he's talking about temporal things, but he's also talking about spiritual things. In the relationship, you know, when you can encourage your children, to be able to get understanding and be able to share those things with you and help you understand, it builds so much confidence. It builds strength of character. He says, get wisdom, get understanding. And then he goes into describing wisdom. And he depicts wisdom as a woman, as a mother. It says, forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Wisdom is more than just knowledge. It's how to use knowledge. It's more than just knowing how something is supposed to work. It's knowing when to use that. So he says, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Understand the cause and effect. We're talking about a father being able to coach and to guide someone into even areas that you don't know hardly how to do yourself. It's pretty easy in our world today to get that, for me, for my age bracket, to get in a place where I really don't understand all I know about it. This, I said AI earlier, this thing is popping up more and more all around us. You type into, you go to Google and you type in a question, you want to know, I don't know what it is, and you're liable to get an AI response, and it's usually labeled as such, and you read through there, and it's very eloquent, usually, the way it's worded. Sometimes it's misdirected. Sometimes it's like they're way off. They didn't understand my question at all. The grammar's always good. The spelling's always good. It's easy to read, even if they didn't answer your question. But this was something we're going to have to contend with in our world today. Do I understand how it all works? No, I don't. It says here, exalt her and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor, still talking about wisdom, when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. So wisdom about temporal things. A father is to instruct their children to get wisdom. To get wisdom about the things of God. And to know how to tarry before the Lord until he witnesses to you an answer, not trying to twist things into what you want it to sound like, but to know how to surrender your will to the Lord, to understand what is the wise way to handle life and the wise decisions to make. He says here in verse 10, "Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many." We're talking about a father that's endeavoring to guide his children and guide his home here. He says, "I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths." You know that's important. We talked this morning quite a bit about being an example and setting a precedence. Can our children safely follow our example? He says here, "I've taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths." Have I? As a father, have I led them in the right path? That can be a real challenge. Did I lead them in the path of how to use my time wisely? How to pray? How to seek the Lord for an answer? Did I show them how to do that? I know we all have some serious questions about how Solomon could write what he did and yet turn out the way he did. It's a real dilemma in my mind. But Lord, help me to profit from the words that I have here in the scripture and ask myself the question, have I taught my children, my home? Have I been the example? Have I taught them in the way of wisdom? Have I led them down a path that would lead them to a right conclusion? He says here, "When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straightened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble." What's he talking about when he says, "When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straightened"? Yeah, it's talking about something that's narrow. It's talking about something that could be precarious. It says, "When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straightened, not restricted." Why is it not restricted? Have you ever... Let's go back and look at a little account that probably all of us have read at some time, or at least I hope we have. Do you remember how Christian got through the Slough of Despond? He was muddy on the other side, wasn't he? He fell in, and he had to have somebody help him. And it's all because he wasn't paying attention to where he put his feet. But somehow he communicated that back to his family. And when you remember how his wife went across? She didn't hardly spend any time at all. She was looking for and stepped on each one of those stepping stones and went right through the Slough of Despond. That's kind of what we're talking about here. He says, if you will listen to my words, if you'll pay attention and you'll follow the instruction that I'm giving you, then your feet won't be straightened. Your steps won't be straightened. And that when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Have you ever run into someone that it was hard for them to take instruction? Sometimes it's hard to deal with someone that won't take instruction. I've had those places in the job that you would like to give a little instruction, or Maybe I was there and I didn't want to listen to what somebody said. You know, that always turns out not so good. It's so much better to be open to instruction. So he says, take fast hold of instruction. You ever tried to put something together without reading the instructions? I've done it. Oh, I got this. It's just a few nuts and bolts and a few pieces, and lay it out and think, surely this can't be very difficult. And you end up with bolts that are not long enough and you don't have the right amount. And then if you just go back and read the instructions, it was clear in the instructions. He says, take fast hold of instruction. Don't ignore the instructions that's available to us. It's better to spend a little time reading before you just run off down the path and do it. Lord, help us to take time to really read the instructions. This is instructions. It says, take fast hold of... You know, I find that the more I study and the more I apply myself, the more there is to learn, it seems like. It's just everywhere I go, there seems to be something else. And just when I think I'm all prepared and ready to share something with somebody else, it seems like I feel like I'm destitute and I need more instruction. But he says, take hold. This is a father talking to a son. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Enter not. And here is the type of instruction. We said something to the effect about the type of instruction that a father would give. He says, enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Don't do that. He's not inferring how it makes him feel or trying to pass that on. There's not any reasoning here. It's a simple, clear instruction. Don't go down that path. Stay away from that path. Enter not into the path of the wicked. He's not reasoning with him about how anybody, any feelings or anything. They're just plain, simple instruction. You know, many times that's what our world is missing. It's just plain, simple instruction. And if someone won't receive instruction, that's where the real problem, that's where the reasoning comes in. That's where the why questions come in. But what did he say? He said, take fast hold of instruction. It's important to keep that respect as a father, as children are growing up, as the husband, as the leader in the home. Keep that respect so you can give simple instruction and stay ahead of the game. He says here, enter not into the path of the wicked, go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. Don't get close to it. We've probably all seen those that were trying to get too close to something and turned out disastrous. Lord, help us to just stay clear. Learn how to keep a margin away from the evil. It says, for they sleep not except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. If you think about all the scheming that Delilah did to get Samson's, the secret of his strength, over and over again. You know, you remember there was one time that Samson asked his parents to get him a wife from down there amongst the Philistines, and they said, son, there's many here amongst us. Why would you go down there? The simple instruction was, Don't go down the path of the wicked. Stay away from that. If he would have listened to the instruction of his father, you know, Samson wouldn't have fell for Delilah's schemes. And then I thought too of Potiphar's wife. The result of that was a lot different, wasn't it? Joseph stayed true. He listened to the instruction of his father. He had to have some instruction somewhere. You don't just get that. That's not the nature of an uninformed person. Okay? You don't have the wisdom of Joseph and the integrity of Joseph if you had never received instruction. But we find Joseph as someone that obviously had accepted instruction, and he chose not to go down the path of the wicked. And he didn't go in the way of evil men. He avoided it. He done everything he could not to pass by it. And he did the thing that he knew he had to do when he was caught without any fault of his own. He was caught. And he turned loose of what he had, his cloak, his outer cloak, and fled. And then it was misrepresented against him. But because he avoided the path of the wicked, the Lord brought him up and out of that place. And he was able to be a blessing to his descendants and to his brothers and all of those. He says, he's still talking about the path of the wicked. He says, "For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is what? Is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto a perfect day." Oh, listen to instruction. What did he say about instruction? "Take fast hold of instructions. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life." Where'd we start? Verse 1 says, "Hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding." Don't just be wise in your own ideas. But he comes down here, we're in verse 17. He says, talking about the wicked, "They eat the bread of idleness, drink the wine of violence, but the path of the just," the path of ones that will listen to the Father's instruction, "is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble." You ever, I know we've all been there, going through some place in the dark and something hits you in the shins and you stumble and maybe hit your toe on something and go down or almost go down. That's what the devil wants to do. He wants to trip us up. But if we'll listen to the instruction of our Heavenly Father, ultimately, He is the Father of us all. He wants to be a Father to us. He's going to give us clear instruction. And there's many, many people that's tried to reason with Him over the years, and it don't turn out well. He says in verse 20 here, "My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh." Now I said this morning about how depraved, I didn't use that word this morning, but how depraved our culture is, to the point that fatherhood is kind of an obsolete term. How many people do you hear talking about their father and using that word? They don't very much, do they? it's dad, or even sometimes they use other word, other terminology that's, it seems like it's condescending or something. It's not respectful. I want to tell you, to be a father, a godly father, today's Father's Day, to be a godly father is a tall order. It's a responsible place. And he said here, my son, attend to my words. For you to command the attention of your children, you're going to have to stay ahead of the game. You're going to have to ask the Lord to help you on a daily basis, whether we have adult children or little children around our feet. Lord, help me to know how to be prepared to meet their needs. I want to have answers, good, solid answers. I want to have instruction for them. I want to be able to help them foresee the dangers. That I don't want their feet to be straightened. I don't want them to be stumbling in the dark. I want them to be strong, and I want them to be courageous. So he said, listen to what I got. Oh, we used to, when the boys were small, there's many times that I feel like we had a good time, and they would be out there with me when maybe they weren't really big enough to participate, and maybe they weren't physically strong enough or big enough to do what I was doing. And I remember saying many times, watch me, you might learn something. And then, I don't know, it was probably about like Declan is here tonight, about 4 years old or so. There was one time I was doing something, and I told one of the boys, I said, here, take my impact. Now, you watch me. You know what we're doing here. You take these lug nuts off while I stepped outside. And so he was, this is a funny story. I stepped out to answer the telephone or something. We was at home. And so he started taking these lug nuts off. And, of course, the nuts, he would zing them off, and they would go everywhere. We had to find them all. But he got them, as he's getting them off, the fellow that was there that is a friend of mine that was working on his truck, and he just kind of stepped out. You know, he'd been there talking to me, but when Trenton was doing it, he just stepped out of the building and or the shed there. And Trenton, he hollered at him. He said, hey, he said, if you watch me, you might learn something. You know, build that relationship to where they want to watch you. That's my challenge to us as fathers. Be ahead of the game enough. And I think, Lord, have I done that? In spiritual things, can I say to them, boys, watch me, you might learn something. If you pay attention to the way I do it, you'll get closer to the Lord. You'll have more power with God. I want to be that kind of father. He says here, put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. You know, there's things in the New Testament that he says, the writer says, don't let them be named once among you. And here he says, Proverbs says, put away from thee a froward mouth, one that's always stirring up discord, discontent, opposition, negative about everybody else. Put that away from you. Don't let it be named amongst you. Perverse lips, put far from thee. How are we going to teach the next generation if we're doing it? Because the whole concept of fatherhood is the little ones see daddy do it, and they're going to try to do it. That's the way it works. They're going to be like you. Lord, help us to be like our Heavenly Father. So when they follow us, they'll be following God. He says, let not thine eyes look right. He says, let thine eyes look right on and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. This is a powerful verse of not being distracted by the things that go on around us. The deterrents. This is advice that a father gave to a son. Remember where he started? He said, hear ye children the instruction of a father. And the father is saying, let your eyes look right on. Don't allow your peripheral vision to become what you're really taking in. We're going to be exposed to things. We're going to have to deal with stuff that we shouldn't have to deal with in life, especially in the age that we live in. But Lord, help us to keep our eyes looking right on. Let our eyelids look right, straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet. Think about what the end result is going to be of your actions today. If I do this today and tomorrow I do it a little more and a little more and a little more, where's that going to lead me? He says, ponder the path of thy feet and let all thy ways be established. Things become established by repeating good habits, repeating proper action. And that's how things become formed. Do you remember the scripture we read this morning about the apostle said that he travailed in birth again so that Christ would be formed in them? This is what it's all about. When we repeat the right habit over and over again, are we, as fathers, are we supporting that? It's important for us. What did I say this morning? It's important for us to be consistent. It says, turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Oh, dear ones, help us to follow these verses. As a father, I find it a very high challenge. I want to be a better father. Ask the Lord to help you. There's going to be times that you're going to feel, maybe not now as much as later on, but there may be times that you're going to look back and say, I wish I could have done better. Because I look back and I say, I wish I could have done something better. I wish I could have been a little more, a better example, had more guidance, had more wisdom. And it's been a learning curve the whole way. So you fathers, don't be intimidated. Life is a learning curve. But stay ahead of the game. Stay ahead of the current events. Ask God daily for wisdom for the things out there in the future that you don't know. I didn't know where the little green screen or green characters on. I didn't know where it was going. I thought some of the predictions that were made years ago when I was in school, I thought it was kind of unrealistic. But I'll tell you, we're there now. We enjoy so much technology today and sophistication and precision from what that computer will do. And it was not even on the radar when I was a young person. That's how much it's changed in my generation. And I don't know what the next generation holds, if time permits. But I know that the Lord can help you as fathers to be equipped and be ahead of whatever is current. The Lord can help you to give you the wisdom and give you the insight. I want you to know I'm praying for you. I want you to be successful. I don't want your children to be able to say, he taught me also, he said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live. I desire your prayers. I want to be a good father as long as I'm on this earth. I don't want to be the example and the type of father that our heavenly Father is, because ultimately he's the one that holds the keys to eternal life. He's the one that's going to call this whole world. He's not reasoning with us, other than he's telling us Christ is coming back. There's going to be a day. And when that day comes, we're going to be left with whatever we have on hand. I want to be prepared. I don't want to be like my boys were when I told them, when the time is up, I'm going to throw the toys away that you left on the floor. They thought it was a bad day, and it was for them, because I literally picked up their toys that they hadn't put away like they should have. I put them in a black bag, I tied it off, and we put it in the dumpster. I don't want to be like that with the Lord. I want to be ready to where I can be in fellowship with him. You pray for me.